There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone, and I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour. Text lines open for you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Lots to do this hour. But I want to start off with a conversation. This is one that it was probably 2 or 3 weeks ago when the first of my friends called me about this. This was an individual story and said, hey, man, this is what I was told by my insurance company. And then we heard it here on the air. People have talked about the same story, and that is a business that has a business interruption policy, have a claim over business interruption with their business insurance, and those claims with some companies, at least the two that I've heard of specifically, were denied. And this is something that might be just coming to light now, but going forward, as businesses may be claiming on their insurance for what's happening in this fight against coronavirus, this may be a bigger and bigger story. President even talked about this the other day. And I want y'all to say hello to Richard Taylor with Taylor Martino Attorneys at Law, who's joining us to talk more about this. Richard, thanks for your time. Richard, you there? Have we lost Richard? We lost Richard. Dalton, I'll tell you what we'll do.
Yeah.
Oh, there we are. There we go.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Richard Taylor with Taylor Martino. And kind of setting this up, we're talking about insurance companies that are denying business interruption claims. Can you let's back up for a second and talk about business insurance and, you know, a business interruption claim. I mean, that's something that people have filed for other things before, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. But never for COVID-19.
So, I mean, what would be like in the past? So somebody takes out an insurance policy, a business insurance policy. They have a business interruption claim for what? Could that be give me an example, something that would be
in the past, if a hurricane hits and destroys your business, or a flood or a fire, and it interrupts your business. So that's typically what it's been used for in the past. But, of course, we're not never have businesses filed a claim for COVID-19 because we've never had COVID-19. So we've encouraged our clients to look at their business policies and see if they have business interruption coverage. And we found that a majority of people or businesses do have that type of coverage. And there's also a coverage called civil authority coverage. And what that means is that if the civil authority, in this case, our President Donald Trump, our Governor Kay Ivey, and our Mayor Sandy Stinson have shut your business down. I have friends that are doctors and have restaurants and bars, and by order of the civil authority, the government, they said, you've got to close your doors. So some insurance policies provide coverage for what's called civil authority.
So that could actually override whether, and we could get into the question about coronavirus and the pandemic, but if somebody had the civil authority clause in there, it's why it was called is not important. It's just that there was a civil authority shut them down, right? It's not even, I mean, it's specifically in this issue is about coronavirus, but it's not germane to the claim.
Well, that's what our law firm would argue, is that you've got that provision there for civil authority, and then the insurance company will say, well, it was closed as a result of the COVID-19. And, you know, it's hard to make broad, sweeping statements about what an insurance policy will say, because each business we found has different policies. So we're encouraging our clients to send us or email us a copy of their policy, and we can review them. Some policies have exclusions for a virus, and which makes it more difficult. Some have exclusions for microbes. Well, he's coming a microbe. So, you know, there's in order for a business to know if they have a claim, then they've got to get the policy to the lawyers at Taylor Martino.
I want to ask you to stop you for a second, Richard, and the, you know, when I think about like virus or microbes, and you've read through a lot more of these than I have, so would it be specific to that business? For example, you know, if you had something present, the microbes were in your hot dog stand or your store, that's one thing. But in this case, your business could be completely clean. It's just the overall environment, right, that caused the civil authority to close it.
Yes. It's the COVID-19 threat that's causing the businesses to close. I mean, a business may have a hard time proving we had the virus in our business on our countertop, you know, unless they have some employees that tested positive. But
they could have gotten it elsewhere too, though, you know?
That's true. But there's some law out there from other jurisdictions that say, you know, if you're closed due to some invisible object or, you know, thing, then that is a property loss. And so, you know, it's just, you're going to need a lawyer to move these claims forward. I can tell you that if you call your insurance agent or your insurance company and file a claim, they will deny it. I've yet to hear of an insurance company accepting a claim. They've been told from the higher-ups in the company, we're going to deny all of these claims. And so it's going to just take some court action or governmental action. And what I mean by that is that if you pay close attention to our president's news conferences back on, I think it was April the 10th, he took aim at the insurance companies for not paying the business interruption claims. And Congress has been approaching the insurance industry about the business interruption claims. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's going to happen. I'm not going to say it's possible or it may happen. But I can foresee the federal government backing the insurance industry to pay these claims.
What do you mean by that? Like, the taxpayers giving the money to the insurance companies to give to the for the claims?
Yes. It's really no different from flood insurance. That's government-backed insurance.
Right.
And so the government has spent $2 trillion of the taxpayers' money to try to help businesses and families, and that's just a Band-Aid. I mean, some politician or somebody's got to come up with an idea to save American businesses. And I can't think of a better way than to say, well, what about businesses that were operating? They were paying the premiums. They had an ongoing business. They filed a business interruption. And I'm not saying this will happen, but I've been reading, it's quite possible that it's a means or a method for the federal government to bring our economy back. It's through the business interruption, because that's the businesses. That's the backbone of America. That's the millions of workers out there. And if a business interruption claim can be backed by the federal government, then that could be a way to get our economy back and running. And so, you know, that's why you contact a lawyer, you know, first in, first out. If you get your claim in there and even it's denied, you're front and center. And if it does happen, then, you know, your claim will get paid first. On the other hand, if the government doesn't back it, then you're just going to have to challenge the insurance companies and try to win in court. But, I'd encourage every small business to file a claim. When they call their insurance agent and say, oh, there's no coverage, we're not going to pay that claim, file it anyway.
Okay.
Put it on the on the insurance company to put in writing why they're not paying your claim.
Okay, so there's an important takeaway. Just joining us, talking to Richard Taylor from Taylor Martino Attorneys at Law. So you are recommending that somebody, even if they've had that conversation on the phone and the agent says, man, we're not going to cover that, go ahead and file it anyway. Be denied on paper.
Absolutely. I bet there's been, I don't know, I'm guessing 500,000 claims filed and 500,000 have been denied. So they're going to deny every one. But I can tell you the insurance industry is nervous about these claims, that they know that if they start losing in court, well, then they're going to have to start paying the claims. And whether they like it or not, lawsuits are being filed all over the country and going to come to a head. Courts are going to have to decide, or the legislature is going to decide.
Well, okay, and I want to get back to the legislative side of it, but I mean, I think it was like Lloyd's of London the other day said they couldn't do this; they would go bankrupt if this happened.
Well, that may be true if America tries to put all of this debt and loss on the insurance companies alone. Not only will the insurance companies go out of business, but the businesses also. So that's why I think that in the end, the federal government's got to come in and stand the insurance companies up. I mean, if the businesses go out of business, then the insurance companies aren't going to have any premiums to collect.
Right. Okay. And on the legislative side, once again, would it be just the idea of what you're hearing right now would be some move to direct funds to the insurance companies to pay those claims, but would it be a push to change the law going forward? It can't be retroactive. So would it be that you can't deny this kind of coverage, or would it be a one-time, let's fix it by putting the cash infusion into the insurance companies?
Well, you're asking me the details of what may happen in the future, and I don't know. But
your best guess.
If the insurance company says we're going to accept COVID-19 as a reason for business interruption or a period of whatever, and to give the government and the insurance companies a time period or an opportunity to get money to businesses.
I'm seeing text here from on the text line, Richard, people saying that they have had what you were saying. They've had the telephone conversations with their agents saying that they won't cover it. But once again, you're saying you still have to get that on paper.
Yes, because if you read an insurance policy, I mean, you know, they're 75 pages long and, you know, one page giveth, the next page taketh away, you know, so put the burden on them. You tell me why you're denying my claim. You quote to me in my policy why you're denying my claim. Then you take that to Taylor Martino, and they'll look at it and we'll say, oh, now we see their reason, because they can come up with 10 or 15 reasons. So, but you got to make them put the burden on them to tell you exactly what clause they're relying on. Buyer's exclusion, microbe, it's not, we don't consider it damage to your property, or you got to prove, you know, a microscope on your countertop with a virus on it. You know, what's the reason you're not paying the claims? Like President Trump said, these businesses have been paying these insurance premiums for years and years and years, and then they file a claim and the insurance company says, no, we're not paying. So you just got to put the pressure on them to tell you why they're not paying and hire Taylor Martino to challenge them in court.
All right. So
I can guarantee you one thing. If you do nothing, you'll get nothing.
Yeah, that's true. And I think so the first step, though, is for people to make that claim, get the denial on paper, no matter what that denial is. It could be, like you said, from everything from a virus exclusion or some other reason that they're going to, I guess when they deny you, they're going to give you a certain, right? They're going to say because of page 4, line 5, subsection
yes.
A.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. You want an adjuster assigned, and you want the adjuster to put it in writing. Now, when I say file a claim, I don't mean call your insurance agent, your buddy who, you know, you go hunting and fishing with, and he says, oh, there's no coverage. That's not going to do it. You've got to push past the agent for them to contact an employee of the insurance company, an adjuster, to put it in writing. And don't take verbal responses.
Should you do your part in writing as well? Richard, should you make a mail a letter?
Absolutely. Email or letter. Email or letter. You say, I demanded, I now filed a claim. I demanded a reason and I want one. And you just keep pressing them until they tell you why. And then once you get that letter, then you can take it to Taylor Martino downtown office. We're still operating somewhat. We've got a few people in the office, but contact us remotely, and then we'll read the letter and give you advice on what your options are.
All right, let's do this as we wrap up here. Phone number and website where they go to get, if somebody's riding down the road right now, they want to get that information, where do they go once they get on the computer?
It's real easy. Taylor Martino, that's T-A-Y-L-O-R, Martino, M-A-R-T-I-N-O.com. And our number in Mobile is 251-433-3131.
Richard Taylor, Taylor Martino, Attorneys at Law, thanks for your time.
Stay safe, Sean.
All right, you too. Coming right back. I got a lot of text here to talk about at 343-0106. We'll grab your calls as well.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone line, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. The meat shortage stories go a lot of different ways there. I have my own commentary there on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5, where I think that may be going. Here we go. Let me play the, because I always have to be the moderator here and kind of put checks and balances on the multiple daily conspiracy theories. But here's one. Pass this one around. So what I think it is the fake meat people. What is it? I can't believe it's not meat or whatever. What is it? Impossible meat. I can't believe it's not meat. Whatever the fake meat people, that they actually started this whole thing with coronavirus to get it spread so it would come through and it would infect people in meat processing facilities, so then more Americans would have to eat their is it soy, whatever they make, soy or lab generated meat. That's what's happening. That's the real. If you don't believe that, you're just a sucker. You're just a shill for the government if you don't believe that. It's all the people at Believe Me It's Not Meat that are behind this. All right, to the phones. Now that I've established that. And David, Mobile, up next.
Hey, Sean. Mr. Taylor gave everybody a lot of great advice, and I would strongly recommend people listen to him. I would only add one little thing to that, and that is this. One of the types of debt bankruptcy courts can just wipe away with the stroke of a pen is judgments against companies and individuals. So you don't want to be in a position where you do hire a lawyer, you get a judgment against the insurance company, and the insurance company is able to get that judgment wiped away through a bankruptcy court and then still have to pay the lawyer. So I would encourage people to do their homework, find a lawyer they're comfortable with, but make sure that lawyer is willing to take the case on a contingency of a percentage of whatever is collected from the insurance company, because you don't want to be a business where you've lost revenue and you are holding the bag on a legal bill as well.
There you go. Good point. Thank you, David. One of the worries here is I see both sides of this, unfortunately. It puts me in the uncomfortable position. So if the insurance companies have an exclusive rider in it, and listen, I'm a small business. I want some parts of this not to be true. But if they have a specific rider in the insurance contract that says, you know, if there's a pandemic, we're not paying, well, then I'm kind of messed up. Now, if we want to go through another mechanism, just like the Paycheck Protection Program, you know what? I mean, obviously it is. It helps small business, but small businesses, as we talk about, employ more Americans than any other sector. It keeps more Americans on the payroll, off unemployment. It's another way to direct those funds, right? So you have people that get money and more money than they would on unemployment, except some cases, which is a whole nother discussion. But they get a paycheck. And then they're ready to go when the economy gets back online full speed. I think it's a good thing, but it's using private sector as a conduit to allocate federal dollars, right? Well, and somewhat that's what's, you know, one of the ideas here. If Congress would move on this and would put money into the system to be able to cover all the business interruption claims, right, made through different insurers, but the unpopular opinion, and I still think, I mean, believe me, self-serving, I would like to know that it's all covered and the money comes in. But what about, like, if you're the person that has the contract that really would have the insurance company have to live up to coverage because business interruption, but I'm sitting over here and my contract said we will not specifically pay for any pandemic, and for some reason they knew they had a time machine or anything called COVID-19, and we won't pay, but I get the same as you. I guess it's fine, but it's just what it is a conduit, right? It's moving federal money through the insurance companies, private sector, to individual Americans and business owners. This is safety net stuff here. This is big time safety net. Dan, you know what? You may be right. Dan has added important information here that I forgot to tell you about this conspiracy. Very good. Thank you, Dan, for that information. He said, what about the soybean farmers? Which, Dan, I'm not a farmer on them, but I've got 6 acres of them baking in the sun right now with no rain on them. Dan, you're right. I forgot to tell everybody, the soybean farmers, because they were upset because of the trade imbalance and the war going on with China, they couldn't sell as much in beans. So they decided to fake up a coronavirus that would spread, right, to be able to get people at the meat companies to not be able to work at the processing facilities. Therefore, people at Believe Me It's Not Meat or whatever would have to buy more soybeans and make their fake meat for the American people. And that's why you're right. Great conspiracy.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Website, fmtalk1065.com. Check out our podcast, a plenty over there, plus the curated list, which is the fancy new term for gathering stuff up. List of all the interviews we do about COVID-19 locally. They're under one tab, plus all the podcasts at the FM Talk 1065 podcast tab. Get the top stories of the day, online opinion poll, show schedules, all that good stuff waiting for you on the website, fmtalk1065.com. I want y'all to say hello to my friend Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And Angelo, what's up?
I've been another busy week so far at the shop. We're selling a lot of gold and silver bullion, have plenty of stuff available. Just picked up another 1,000 ounces and 10-ounce silver bars today. Those arrived. We unboxed those. Actually did a little unveiling of those on Facebook. Did a little quickie video out there.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion for you and I to have someday, that unboxing is like the most popular thing on YouTube. Like watching somebody else open up a package of something, it fascinates people. I don't understand, but it's a thing.
Yeah, it really is. And it was one of those things that one of our employees had turned us on to a while back, and I never saw the fascination in it. But when we started unboxing, 1,000 ounces in silver bars or 142 ounces in gold here at the shop, that's a little cooler because it's real, it's legitimate, and it shows people that, hey, when they're talking about how much silver they've got available for sale, they really mean it because there it is.
True. You said also, you talked about this the other day, are they called the COVID-19 bars, or what's the right name for it?
We've been calling them the COVID bars. It's a 10-ounce fine silver bar. It says, struck during the COVID-19 pandemic, 2019-2020. And the interesting thing is we have a limited number of those available, and they cost a little bit more than a regular 10-ounce silver bar because the profits from the mint from making those bars are actually going to help the COVID-19 relief effort.
That's good. You get your collector's item and also have a positive impact on fellow Americans.
Yes, it's really important to sort of have that positive thing going on right now. A lot of us are a little freaked out, a little stressed maybe. Normal shopping habits, normal habits have really been broken by all the rules being slapped at us every single day. And I wanted to remind people, if you're one of those people that loves to go shopping, whether it's for cool coins, whether it's for jewelry, and you really can't do some of that right now in the real world, you can always go to our website, mobilebaycoins.com, click on the shopping link. That'll take you to the eBay store. We have over 9,000 items available and ready to ship right there in that online store. You can shop from home.
All right. So if they are doing gold and silver, they can still do that in person at the store, but the gift items are going to do online.
Yes, sir. All the fancy cool stuff online, gold and silver bullion here at the shop. And if you need to sell something, you can come to the shop Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to 2. We're buying gold and silver, jewelry, coins, scrap, you name it.
All right. If somebody, for some reason, has not ever physically come to Mobile Bay Coins, tell them how to get there.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can call us if you get turned around, 725-1590. We are observing all of the proper protocols for safe distancing. So just be patient. If you see several of the people in the shop, we'll let them out and then let you come on in.
All right, Angelo, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, buddy.
All right, you too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, one of those local businesses. So many of them that are our partners here, they're trying to, you know, figure out the ways to navigate this current economy, which, by the way, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, another edition of What's Working, special edition with our friend Cam Marston, where he helps us with the whole bunch. I mean, the number of guests he's had on in a few weeks has been unreal. He brings more guests to bear tomorrow, more information for folks trying to figure out how to make the right choice for a small business, for an individual family, how to market, how to grow your business, how to keep cash flow going. Maybe a question about insurance, right? And a business interruption claim, like we talked about this hour. All right, a couple stories here. I am going to get to the meat story in a second, because, of course, it's very important to get to the story, because it's, as I'm making up a conspiracy theory, that I expect to have it shot back to me tonight in the form of an email. Someone will say, well, you hadn't heard, but here's what's going on, Sullivan. I'd love that. If I can create a conspiracy theory, and then tonight it can have traveled all around and show back up in my inbox and say, here's something else you're hiding for the Bilderbergers and Trilateral Commission. Which, by the way, if they're ever, like, people say that I'm on the take form, 900 Western America Drive, Suite 106, Mobile, Alabama, 36609. I take cash, please, in a paper bag or a plastic bag if you want to pay me off. I haven't gotten any payoffs in 11 years of doing this, but I'll take them. All right, so this story from WPMI. This is a revisit. We have talked about this in the past. Dalton first brought it up a couple weeks ago on the morning show. And that is about, as we see the numbers of COVID-19 cases in Mobile County, have you noticed that you hear two zip codes and then you don't hear anything else? Or you don't hear other zip codes listed? And here's the story and here's why. So WPMI reports Mobile County Health Department breaks down COVID-19 cases by zip code, but the full zip code is only released if more than 20,000 people live in it. So hold on to that fact. Okay. In its latest tally, MCHD lists 149 cases, or 32% of the total, located in the other 366 zip codes. That's all the 366 zip codes with less than 20,000 people. 16 zip codes grouped together, which covers a lot of ground in Mobile and Pritchard. As of Monday, Mobile County Health Department released a map showing where in the county they're seeing more cases. It now shows each zip code, and while it doesn't list the amount of cases, it does show the density. Zip codes 36606 and 36618 have not previously been listed and are now showing having a higher density. So they figured out a way around. This is what I'm talking about. This is the ridiculousness of the rules. So the rules are, as we found out a few weeks ago on the morning show, that if you hadn't, like they just listed in the story, if there's less than 20,000 people in the zip code, they can't list the specific zip code. I guess the idea is if you had a zip code that had like, I don't know, this is my best guess. If you had a zip code that had 100 people in the zip code and you said, in this zip code, there are 94 cases of whatever it is, rabies, whatever. Then people could know pretty much who had rabies out there, and they would violate some kind of health code, or, you know, some. I don't know if that wouldn't be really HIPAA, would it? Would it be HIPAA? It would violate people's privacy. So I guess that's the spirit of it. But come on, if you have a zip code that has 19,000 people in it, and you're telling me you can't list the zip code because of the rule, that's just silly. It's silly laws. They're coming. So I don't know if it was on purpose from the Mobile County Health Department or it just happened this way, but now they can show density, right? And they can use density, and they show a map, and they have a color-coded map here showing density of COVID-19 cases. Now, it doesn't list the number of cases inside these other 366 zip codes, But you could easily compare and contrast. You can say, okay, they've listed 36608 and 36695 or something. They can list those. All right, well, those are dark blue or those are purple, and these others are the same color. I mean, you can. This is what's so silly. You haven't changed anything. The people have had to go around the silly law to get around it. And that's the, you know, I'll put this story up. I'm going to link it through. You can see what I'm talking about. Like, so the information now we can go through, I can go through here and make some pretty close guesses on what the density is or the number of cases in a zip code just based on they can show you the color shaded zip code map of Mobile County by density of cases, but they can't tell you how many cases are any given zip code that has a population under 20,000. Is this what we're paying y'all for? Is it the department that come from? All right, it's on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. If you want to check out that story, head to the phones when we get back, 343-0106. And we'll get to the meat story, meat shortage story. Right, every good old boy, just like me, just went, I ain't got no issue with that. Don't worry about that. I'll just check that freezer.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
This actually might be a good time for a better explanation on the podcast and how they're broken down for FM Talk 106.5, because Roger was asking about Cam Marston's What's Working Special Edition podcast. Yeah, so that's available as well. If you go to the front page of our website, you go to fmtalk1065.com, and hopefully when you're there, you're dazzled by all the things going on with the website. It's pretty dazzling. And while you're there as well, in deference to our late friend, Rennie Brabner, we have a link directly up there for the Moon Pie Minute. You may look on there and go, why do they have Mardi Gras stuff up now? Those great Moon Pie Minutes from our friend Rennie Brabner are listed or linked right there. You can go back and check them out. The story of Mardi Gras as only he could tell. Okay. So when you're there, if you'll go on the top, you'll see, a podcast tab and then a COVID-19 local news. So what you will find on the COVID-19 local news, you also find on the podcast tab, but it's just a shortened list of the interviews and different things we do surrounding the local story in the fight against COVID-19. So if you kind of want to kind of narrow it down, everything, if you hit the podcast tab, that's all the podcasts. We do 44 hours a week of locally produced content, organic, local. We're a local business. We're a small business, local business. Our shows are the 44 hours that we put up on the podcast, they're all locally produced here. And even though these days, sometimes they're connecting to the studio from their homes or other places just because of the situation going on right now. Most of the time, they're all coming out of the studio right here where I'm sitting. So 44 hours a week of that's up in podcast form, so, plus some specials and some things we put up on the podcast tab. Also, Roger and others, the best way to do this is if you'll subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher. So iTunes, obviously, for Apples. Stitcher, good for Android. But there's a whole bunch of podcast platforms out there. And pretty sure, if it's a podcast platform out there, our podcasts are available there as well. So wherever you subscribe to get your podcast, you can get them there. Even Spotify has our podcast. Or TuneIn Radio, I made a dedication to talk more about it in this year, and I've been failing. But reminding y'all that TuneIn Radio, that's the way you can stream us on your smartphone. It's a free app. It'll ask you if you want to buy the premium edition, but I've been running the freemium for 6 years or so, and it's fine. It's bulletproof. It's great. So check that out. It's called TuneIn Radio, and you can get that for Android phones or iPhones. In addition to our streaming, you can also get our podcast there. So, Roger, appreciate the question. And, it'll be a fresh edition of Cam's show tomorrow at 1 o'clock right here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, the meat story, I think there's going to be much to do about nothing here. But a story from the Detroit Free Press says, as some food workers across the U.S. are becoming infected by the coronavirus, some plants that process beef, pork, and poultry are shutting down, raising the specter of meat shortages. And they go tell the story, you know how they do. They'll set that up and they'll say, and locally, at Holiday Market, somebody couldn't get their whatever, their ham. I don't know what they said in this, but they come back to the national story. They said food processing giant Smithfield Foods is the most recent to announce the closure of one of its biggest pork processing facilities in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, due to COVID-19, with more than 200 cases of COVID-19 linked to employees at that facility. Other major food processors such as Tyson Foods, JBS USA, have also shut down some facilities temporarily because workers are becoming ill from the coronavirus. All right, so that's what it's specific. But those places will come back online. Yeah, you know, this says they're closed right now, but I'm sure as soon as the people get well, they said that's pork, chicken. How does they say chicken doesn't seem to be impacted? They just said Tyson. Like Tyson's like all about chicken, right? Said Tom Super, spokesman for the National Chicken Council. Dalton, see if we can get that interview booked. Not now when it's serious, but sometime in the future. Get the Tom Super from the National Chicken Council said in an email to the Detroit Free Press that production and processing of poultry continues and worker safety measures are in place. Store shelves will be restocked, he said. It's just taking longer than normal. You know, on the chicken front, by the way, this is one of these places in the economy. It's interesting to watch the market, how it reacts, right? Well, there's been obviously a lot of downturns in the market out there. Certain companies, not just in the medical field, but certain places have picked up a lot during this time. And it is a sector. It's the baby chicks sector of the economy. Talked to a friend of mine who runs a feed and seed and facility here in Mobile County. And he was telling me this 3 weeks ago or something like that. He's like, Sean, I can't keep baby chicks in stock. Now, always this time of year, people were going to get chickens, right? Go buy baby chicks in the spring. Sometimes they were given as Easter gifts. Remember those days? But people get baby chicks and, you know, start their flock of chickens. He said, I can't even get them in stock. He was getting them in as fast as they were coming from a wholesale facility to his store. He said they were already spoken for. But you could not. That he said the run on baby chicks, I think he's not alone and saw some other stories, but I know this guy specifically said, and this was weeks of this, that he couldn't keep the baby chicks that people were, I guess, getting ready. I mean, the same way gardening, which I think is very cool. Where have y'all been? The gardening is getting popular, which, by the way, I got a note from our buddy Bill Finch, was come on the midday show this week. So hopefully tomorrow or Friday, get Bill Finch on to talk some more gardening as more and more people, heck, you couldn't, you know, for a while there. Although it looks like now, because I hadn't been going to stores, but you couldn't find, you know, hardly find tomato cages or new plants. Or I'm sure there's been a big run on Miracle-Gro. I'm sure the Miracle-Gro folks are making bank right now, too. As a bunch of people. So baby chicks and gardens and all that stuff. Hey, listen, if it gets people back to a little bit more of connection to their food, maybe a little shortage, a meat shortage here for just a little bit of time. I know it's part of the big soybeans plan and conspiracy, but maybe it's good. Those people that can, that have the space, not everybody does, but if they have the space to have a little container garden, and you can have tomatoes, you know, you can do bell peppers, you can do all that in containers. But maybe getting us back to a little bit of the value set that our grandparents had, right? I was the weird kid that started gardening early, but maybe more people getting back into it, maybe where they can, raising some chickens, maybe some folks, you know, for eggs and raising a little bit of a garden there. Good. I think it's a good thing. I think a good thing long term. All right. I think we have time for one here before we finish up. And the only reason I'm gonna go to Derek Dalton because Derek's talking chickens. Derek.
Dude, I am talking chickens, baby. I am talking chickens. I got the last chicken coop I could find in Mobile.
See, that's what I'm talking about. It was...
Well, we were going to do it anyway, though. You know, it's, but then you got this whole protein scare. We're going to do it anyway. You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, but I do a garden every year.
Yeah.
And it made it really difficult to get the normal stuff. I remember I got the last pack of Roma tomato seeds, and I thought I was winning when that happened.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, when we went and looked at getting a few more supplies, they were sold out of stuff. So yeah. I was I was lucky. We got the Romas in. Romas are fine. I mean, I'm not anti-Romas. We do grow Romas. I dote on my better boys and big boys and the Creoles, and those are my favorites.
I got the Brandywines. I got, what all did I get? Oh, did you get any of the little pear-shaped one, little orange ones that have no acidity? Oh, you got to get those.
I don't even know. No. I have to check that.
I'll drop off some seedlings. We did about 30, and I've got extra. So,
okay.
You know, it's, they're in the Jiffy pellet, so you got to put them in the ground, but I'll drop those off. And those things, dude, you just low acidity is snacking. So, all right, get to it, Sean.
All right, thank you. That's good. We had a little chicken, a little tomato talk, and with that, it's a good time to wrap up Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Paul Feinbaum show on the way in just a minute or so here, and then be back with you tomorrow morning for Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. We do that from 6 to 9. All right, see you then. And remember, online, fmtalk1065.com. And, oh, the social media platforms. Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Twitter is talk to me directly over on the Twitter at FM Talk 106.5 and Instagram as well. Take pictures. You know, I'll take pictures of tomato plants tonight. Put them on Instagram. There you go. Y'all have a great one.